Well, what's up, Chicago? It is Wednesday, Wisdom Wednesday, 2016. Was that April the 26th, I believe? 27th, 2016. And Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. I hear a whole lot of... Okay, that's better.
Extra.
Yeah, like some air. Man, we are live in the studio, and as always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, and sitting in today, that's right, on this Wisdom Wednesday, is the good bishop, the cardinal of the Eastern Ways, His Holiness from, I ain't going to say on high, from somewhere in the middle. Come
right,
on out.
Exactly.
The good bishop, did you see how I put your title in there this time? I put Pastor MB.
Yeah.
MB. When you blow up, you lose your
it becomes M. Bernard.
You know what? Next Wednesday. That's your name for on here. M. Bernard Henderson, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give it up for him. He's joining us in the once again today. Bless the Lord for it.
Yeah.
Good morning. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good day.
How are you, my good friend?
I'm doing well. Go ahead on. Get everything out of the way.
Because he ready.
Yes,
Tanya, get ready to mute his mic instantly. The minute he starts, because I already know
I'll behave.
Give y'all the rundown how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the phone, meaning you've already dialed in, you got the good sounds going in already, just push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. If you want to tweet the show,
tweet.
Thank you. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. You can be a part of the show there. If you want to email the show, simple, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That'll get your email read on the air. Also, your Facebook messages and your tweets as well. If you want to watch the live simulcast of the show, you can turn to Taking the Ustream, ustream.tv. Do a search for the channel Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You can see me sitting here. You can see my good Mr. M. Bernard, Pastor M. Bernard Henderson. There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
M. Bernard Henderson sitting here to my right. What's the shirt you got on today? Is that
Syracuse?
Syracuse, that orange. Syracuse orange man. That's
hey.
It. He's sitting there to my right. And then last but not least, if you want to subscribe to the podcast of the show, simply go to iTunes and you can download the podcast. Once again, that's at iTunes. Do a search under the podcast section for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you can find us there. M. Bernard, sir.
Yes.
God bless your bones. How are you this afternoon?
Is this new carpet?
You know what? I'm going to need you to stop talking about something new every time you come in the studio.
No, it's not.
It's not new, sir.
Is it clean? That's how they say it in church. It would have been, when is this new carpet?
No, baby, we vacuumed.
Oh,
we vacuumed.
We vacuumed.
Yeah,
vacuumed. We're fine, praise the Lord. We're a little upset, you know, because of last week. You know, we had driven over to the studios and was sitting in our normal seat when we received the text message that it's sorry, beloved, it's going to be a rerun show.
Mm-hmm.
And I had driven all the way from La Grande.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And see, this is, believe it or not, this is my only day off I've had. I mean, really, since then. Because all day Thursday, I worked all day Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a funeral Friday and had to be in class from 6 to 11. Then Saturday, all day Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m., 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. in class. Had to visit sick and shut in. Then preached that morning, had early morning prayer, jumped out of the pulpit, jumped in the car, drove to Midway Airport, got on a plane, went to Cleveland, Ohio, drove from there to Hubbard. All right, heard my godson preach his trial sermon. Bless him. Then got back on the plane, and listen, beloved, do not fly out of Cleveland Airport.
Been there, done that. You ain't got to tell me. You should have told me. I would have warned you.
Almost missed my flight in the security line for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Okay. Got home, ran through the food pantry for a minute, threw some water at me. Amen. Went back to work, Then the next day, which is Tuesday, got up, went back to work because all the big weeks were there. We had to be there. Praise the Lord. And so our schedule stopped. So today is my only off day besides I have to teach Bible class. Wear my book, Tanya. I got the workbook. I ain't got the book. But I don't know how I'm going to teach it, and I ain't ever ready. Thank you, Tanya. You're sweet. You're sweet. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to let her handle that.
I'm going to get Ella King's book. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to let her handle that.
On Wish Up. And so, yeah. So, praise our God, Jesus. We're a little bit on the tired side on the day. And little does Dr. King know that he's going to be sponsoring lunch this evening. Either some rib meat, some Chinese food meat, something.
Thank you so much.
All right. So how are you, sir?
I'm good. I think we have a caller here, but this is a private number, so I don't put private numbers on the air. The last time we put a private number on the air. Oh, okay. Never mind. All right. Why are you calling private? Never mind. Let me let that go. We have a caller. Let this through. Hold please 1 second. Caller, here you are. You are live, caller.
Yes.
Yes.
His book is in his email account.
Okay, I'm gonna make sure of that, Tom. Hold on, just a minute. Look on my email. Let me look on my email and make sure. When you sent that?
Probably about 3 months ago when you asked for it.
No. Okay. I did send it
3 months ago, about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 15 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna make sure because before I get off of either way, I'm gonna make sure I got it.
Uh-huh.
So how are you?
Blessed and highly favored.
Well, how's Junebug and Hansel and Gretel and Junebug
and Baby Sweet?
Mute my mic. I'm ready to go. Thank you.
And she's gone.
That's what their name is, Junebug and Baby Sweet.
And Baby Sweet.
Mm. Yeah, you got to love them.
Why did the name Baby Sweet just puts me in the mind of somebody that weighs 200 plus?
I don't know. You know what happened? Listen,
you know,
Baby Sweet came from one of our security guards at Marshall High School way years ago. That's what he used to call the Reverend Curtis Bill.
Okay.
He said, Baby Sweet, come on.
Because every time I hear the name Baby Sweet, I just think of somebody that's easily 250
plus,
or better.
And plus, when we think, hey, big girls need love too. We thank God for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, but anyway.
In the wintertime, save on your heat bill. Save on your heat bill.
Hey, all of the above. They always have something to eat.
Y'all pray for me.
Anyway, so how have you been?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. So let me ask you this. So what was going on in Cleveland? You had to.
My godson was preaching his first.
Okay.
Initial sermon. It's really not in Cleveland. It was really in Hubbard.
Okay. So you said there was did somebody pass away at your church?
One of our
main
members.
Really?
And believe it or not, this is how it happened. Mm-hmm. And my deacon's wife, what happened? I was sitting up in class I'll tell you what. There was a funeral the Thursday before she was there.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Pastor, I'm not feeling well. My back is hurting. But she's always had some abnormalities or whatever. She suffered from diabetes or this, that, and
the
other.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so she went into the hospital that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a call. She's in the hospital. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then Saturday, they said they put her on a ventilator. I said, what? Wait a minute. Wait.
Wow.
So I went up there after class Saturday night, mm-hmm. and the ventilator was breathing 100%. We had this relationship during the time I was there. I was like, girl, listen, if you're ready to go, mm-hmm. go head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if not, I need you to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so they told me she had coded once before I got there.
Oh, wow.
Well, I left and had to take my partner home on mm-hmm. the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me and said, Pastor, she's coded 4 times since she left.
My God.
I said, so the last time she said, if she codes again, we're going to let her go. And I walked in the room and everybody was crying or whatever. I said, girl, you going to left here and ain't told nobody. She was just 52 years old.
52
years old.
All right then.
And so that was a big, big blow to us because she was one of those, you know how you got those aunts or those, mm-hmm. you know, those people mm-hmm. that like they smoke those Longmore cigarettes.
Okay.
go on over there. Uh-huh. I'm tired. I cooked a minute ago. I'm tired. You get out of my house. She's that's the kind of person she was. So
okay.
Sir,
okay.
Alisa Williams and just good people.
Mm-hmm.
And And we're praying for her husband and her two sons. She just had a sister.
Mm-hmm.
But it really touched our hearts. So that was one of those big funerals, one of those big blows, if you will.
Understood.
Yeah. And then I had to go to class. I was exhausted at class. And
now, what class are you taking now?
A little personal class. I'll tell you all about it when we finish it.
Oh, anyway, okay, never mind. All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Anyway, so
have you been preaching since I've been gone? Praise the Lord.
You know what? Wait a minute. Didn't I preached?
No, I think you haven't preached since.
No, I had now. No, I had not preached. And then I would have gotten the chance to preach this coming Sunday again.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I have some bowling duties that have, you know, on Saturday and Sunday. That's right. If y'all want to come on out, check out your boy. I'm in the Illinois State Tournament.
The tournament.
On Saturday and on Sunday.
Okay.
It's a 2-day tournament. Last year was in Freeport, Illinois.
Okay.
But this year it's in Addison, Illinois. So I don't have to drive 75,000 miles away to Bufu, Egypt, Illinois.
Freeport is where? But where y'all?
Way somewhere.
Where y'all?
All I know of a cornfield and the one road you take after you get off the highway. It's just nothing but cornfields to the left and
just
the right.
Children of the corn.
Right.
Of the corn,
that's why I bless God for packing right when I go to them certain kind of areas. But anyway, that's this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and then the last day of the tournament is Saturday afternoon, starts at 1 o'clock.
You mean Sunday afternoon?
Sorry, Sunday afternoon starts at 1. So I'm going to have to leave church a little early to make my way out to the Addison. The good old town of Addison, Illinois. I forget the name of the bowling alley. I forgot it already.
So now, how is Mama King?
Everybody is good. Everybody's doing well. We had our family and friends day on Sunday. Here at the Kingdom. It was family and friends day.
During the morning worship.
At the morning worship.
They didn't invite me, but at the morning
worship. That's why, because it was in the morning worship. I knew you wouldn't have, you know. Well, actually, you probably would have made it because I didn't get out. Yeah. But no, we have family. Nice, wonderful crowd.
Good.
Pastor preached on Family and Friends Day. We had a good time. Everybody was here, and it was good. It was a good day. It was a good day. Not too bad of a day on the Family and Friends Day.
Yeah, that's why they're putting the floor down now after the Friday and Friends Day.
Yeah, they didn't. It wouldn't have been done, so they're finishing it. They actually came to start today. They came yesterday and mopped it and cleaned it. Now today, I think they're gonna start laying down whatever that stuff is.
So that means y'all raised a good amount of money for Family and Friends Day.
Well, no, this is already planned. This was already. Here you go.
Hey, Devron, how you?
Man, and shout out to my brother. He was at a meeting with some of the Southern Baptist people the other day, and I saw some pictures from that day.
There you go.
That's the first
one. It never fails.
That's the first one.
Real time.
And that's the ambulance right there. That ain't the popo. Oh, that's the ambulance.
Now, he was in St. Louis at somebody's
wedding. He went to a friend of his was being, I believe, installed or ordained, one of the two.
Okay.
And he went to that, and he was telling us about it on Monday, how long the installation service was compared to his. Because he said his was, you know, Devon had his laid out. You know, Devon ain't about no, like you, he ain't about no long, drawn out. Yeah. But apparently this one went past the 3-hour mark.
Oh, no, it's enough. But now watch this now. I went to the installation service for Pastor Erica, bless your girl.
Pastor Erica.
Erica at First Baptist LaGrange.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I tell you, her installation service was 1 hour.
Amen.
One.
Amen. Because our ordination lasted almost 2 hours and a half, which was insane.
1 hour.
Wow. Bless God for 1 hour.
And
in the words of Robert Shuler, the hour of power.
The hour of power. This is the Lord, man. Let's rejoice and be glad, isn't it? And don't talk about the physical beat, but I love Robert Shuler. Oh, yeah.
My mama loved us in Robert Shuler, too.
Oh, yes,
that was, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Crystal Shuler. Cathedral.
The Crystal Cathedral, baby.
They don't even have service there anymore, do they?
I don't know if they do or not there.
I know the whole thing, like after the Robert Jr. took over, it all went to, yeah.
And then the daughter,
the daughter was like, take, he was, the Robert was still preaching, but the daughter took over as the, like, CEO of the something.
Right.
And then, but it still is kind of. It never recovered.
Well, you know what? It also states the claim that people who were going to church back then and doing all of those things are not doing them as of now. So let's talk politics, shall we?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Last night, we had five primaries last night.
Yes.
Donald swept all of his.
Yeah.
Hillary won 4 out of 5.
And then Uncle Bernie won Rhode Island.
That's the state when you was in class that you never got right because it was that little one in the corner right next to Maine.
Right next to Maine, New Hampshire.
Yeah,
Vermont,
you always skipped it. Right, yeah. you put the wrong name. Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
How many people live in Rhode Island? About six.
You know, they got a whole lot of money over there. They're insurance capital. They have a whole bunch of insurance in them in Connecticut.
Right. Where is the one that is it?
That's Providence.
I'm trying to think about where all the credit cards come from. Is that Salt Lake? Is that Utah?
I mean, that's
where
Utah.
All your credit, because there's something about that's where all the banks are, and then it's a tax thing. There's no taxes there.
That's Utah.
Okay, yeah.
That's what you mail all your stuff to for the magazine.
Right. So I saw that, and it's interesting. I guess the little trick didn't work. Maybe this is the start this time that Cruz and this last guy's name, I don't even know his name exactly.
Him,
they made a pact that they weren't going to go and politic on each other's areas so that their people would then turn out and vote for the other person so they could beat Donald. But apparently that didn't work.
Well, they're saying that the Indiana
that's going to be the one that's gone.
The decider.
Yeah, because if Donald wins Indiana, he's pretty much in.
Right. But I don't think that
he'll never get the delegates. Right now they said there's no way he can get the full amount of delegates at the end unless they just pull out, which they ain't gonna do.
No.
Hillary, however, I think with what. Right now she's at, is it 2,300? And she's at 19? Somewhere around 19 and some change. So she, she owned them. It's pretty much, Bernie just,
Well, I think what needs to happen is because, all right, Uncle Bernie needs to just have a place on her cabinet. Because we've seen a list of people that they were talking about that may be her running mate. She's even talking about what's the governor of, he was the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. What's the young fellow? Booker? Was that his name?
Oh, Cory Booker?
Yeah, that he may be the running mate or someone along those lines.
Now, let me see how I feel about the Cory Booker situation. Now, let me say it this way. Would that be Hillary's way of trying to pander to the black vote by getting a black VP?
Maybe.
And is that also setting Cory Booker up after Hillary? Let's just for some strength. Let's say Hillary gets a full two terms.
Yes.
And then that gives Booker two terms under the Hillary Clinton presidency to be trained as a VP.
Yes.
And then run for president, thus becoming possibly the second black president of the United States of America.
Of America.
That's interesting. I like Cory Booker though. I've seen him. He actually Cory Booker has more experience now than what President Obama had when he was running.
Exactly.
So he's actually a little bit more further ahead of the game. That's interesting. I would love to see how that. I wonder who her other candidates are.
I think they had a list of them.
Okay.
At one particular time. I'm not sure.
And then Trump is talking about Carly Fiore. I never get the woman's name. Fiore or Fiorari or something, so that he can get the female vote.
And they're cute.
Okay. Right, but don't want women to get paid the same amount of money as the men do.
So what's wrong?
How that gonna work out?
I'm looking forward to the fiasco that's gonna happen at the Republican convention.
Oh, that's gonna be the best TV ever.
Yeah.
I think I might actually DVR that because I. I wasn't around, and neither were you. What was it? The convention of 68, the Democratic one that was, I think it was here, and it was like fights and stuff on the floor.
Oh, yeah, there was fights on the floor.
It was like the news for like days. There were riots in the place.
And then because, they were saying that, of course, Mayor Daley bought it here.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. of course. That's right. So old man Daley, not young Daley, but old man Daley.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what else? Something else I want to talk about in politics. Did you see?
Uh-huh.
Did you see the Obamas meet and go over to England to meet with?
The current Duchess and not Duchess. Is it Prince William?
Yeah, Prince William. Yeah. Harry
and what's the wife's name? I don't even know. Is it not Caroline? What's
no,
the woman's name?
Her name is.
Don't know.
Apple Dumpling.
Gonna pray for you,
Kate.
Kate, that's it.
Did you see how Ms. Obama said, okay, children, listen, let me get up out of this car and this outdoor outfit. Thank you, my husband Obama, for putting the umbrella over my head because this old pink moisturizer may not work in this human weather. Thank you, sir. And she gets out of the car like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, Lord.
Yeah, Michelle, yeah, but
the, she just giving the kids. I think
that's something I have seen, you know, I remember they go back, they showed pictures of, you know, Clinton and, well, if you go all the way back to Reagan and Nancy, you know, the couples, you know, when you saw them in their black tie and tails and tux and stuff, Ronald Reagan was always well-dressed.
Always.
Nancy just wasn't,
older.
She was older, right, and she always looked older. So, you know, they had that whole thing. And then you had the Bush, him and what was the mom?
Barbara.
Barbara, who, you know, she looked like George Washington. you know, either that or the man on the on the grits box, Quaker Oats, him. But she always, y'all pray for me.
I'm done. I'm just done.
She was, you know, and then now, Clinton and Hillary always, you know, looked very well.
Hillary, like, I'm going to put it on this pantsuit right here.
Right, Hillary was the queen of the pantsuit.
Oh, yeah, she's going to give you the pantsuit.
She's going to give you the pantsuit. Yeah. And then, now, Georgian and Laura always looked well.
Yeah, always looked well.
Except
matter of fact, she complimented him.
Yeah, because he always had them cowboy boots on underneath his tuxedo.
Yeah, she complimented him.
Because he's from Texas.
But I tell you, Michelle, just give it to the kids.
But the Obamas,
yeah,
they always come. Now, you know, on Saturday is the correspondence dinner, where that's the one where they kind of like, that's the president's chance to kind of like roast.
To get the peoples. Mm-hmm.
The reporters and everybody else.
Yes.
So apparently he has been working, I saw this on CNN the other day, he has been working for with Key and Peele.
Two on Comedy Central.
Yes, he has been working with them on his stand-up.
And
this is his last correspondence dinner.
Yeah, so guess what?
So I just got, and it's going to be on C-SPAN. C-SPAN, they always care, but it's going to be live. And they're carrying this thing. So I just want to say that our president might need the button.
Yeah.
Because he's going to let that Chicago just come on out. You know
this? And Michelle going to sit over there with her arm full like, what?
Like, say something.
Like, say something, y'all.
I wish you would say something.
I'm going to try to say anything
right here.
Right. I would get up and let y'all have it.
So Sunday and Monday, we had the two most beautiful days here in the lovely land of Chicago land area. Did you happen to partake in any barbecue?
No, I did not because I was in class.
Me neither.
Didn't
get a drop of barbecue.
But then, of course, you know the Lord knows how to behave because see, when it gets hot, we don't know how to behave.
Well, that's obvious by the news report about the 43 shot. I think Saturday, Sunday, Friday. Saturday to Monday, 43 shot, I believe.
Yeah. Because it was a whopping 80-something degrees.
Right, 80.
Monday.
80 mean go crazy.
Yeah. And what beautiful weather. However, and I'm still trying to get to the basis of for what? I'm still trying to get this. For what?
Yeah. Here is a thought, and we're actually going to have at some point, his name is Reverend Roger. Minister Roger Washington, I think is his last name. He's at Freedom Baptist Church out in, you know, Hillside. But he's also a Chicago police officer.
Okay.
And he's the youth minister at Freedom.
Okay.
So we're going to have him on probably in a couple of weeks. And I would love to just sit because we've had this discussion with other people on the show, and I think you've been a part of it maybe once or twice. I don't want to hear this. I'm sick of hearing this. It's because there are no jobs.
That excuse just doesn't. That don't resonate with me.
I can't buy into that.
No. And I mean, and also because we live in the suburbs, and there are jobs everywhere in the suburbs.
But even, here's the deal. Like, okay, so you know, okay, that I've been, you know, since I've been retired. I like saying that.
Retired.
Because I know it irritates some people, so I say it anyway. Yeah. Since I've been retired.
Semi-retired.
I'm retired. But I redid my resume, and this is the part that always kills me. I keep hearing that there are no jobs. But when I go on Monster And
yes.
When I go on, what's the other one?
Jobs, Inc. And matter of fact, they send me a link all the time.
What is the other one other than Monster? It's two big ones. It's Monster, and then there's I can't think of the other one. Somebody help me, please. But when I see those, I see millions of jobs.
Yes.
Well, let me say this, hundreds of thousands
of jobs
in the Chicagoland area.
Yes.
How are you saying there are no jobs?
I don't think it's no. First of all, let's talk about it. There are jobs. But now the question is, with some of us,
mm-hmm.
we can't pass the background test and can
mm-hmm.
pass the drug test.
Mm-hmm.
We can't pass the drug test and can't pass the background check.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of us can do both.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Okay.
Okay.
And whose fault is that?
That's our fault.
Oh, okay. I want to see if they're gonna blame that on the white man too.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
having the aptitude and the vicissitudes
mm-hmm.
to work.
Mm.
Because now jobs will train you. They will train you now.
I am here. This is the way, and maybe it's a mentality thing. And Devon and I were talking about this on Monday. You know, I come from, and I believe you do too. I come from a family where, you know, I was single parent home,
mm-hmm.
and by my mom and my great grandmother. My mother worked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that put in me, if you want to eat, you got to work.
You got to work.
And it didn't matter. I remember one time my mom was in between jobs. She took a part-time job at the Ferrera Pan candy store. Candy company up there on Harlem by North Riverside. It's a
lemon heads.
Where they make the lemon heads.
Uh-huh. Boston baked beans.
Came home smelling like Boston. I remember this now. Came home smelling like the Boston baked beans. Bless God for it, though, because it's a wonder I got. It's a wonder I never had a cavity, because it was nothing to bring home a bag of them fresh. Look, they had a fresh Boston baked bean. Look,
oh,
okay, let me move on.
That's a big old horse flying here. But anyway, go ahead.
It is huge. I wish you go ahead and catch what he can. Right.
He's from Mississippi somewhere. Anyway.
So,
yeah.
But there's always been this pattern of people working. And even now, if it was a point now where I needed to eat or provide for family or whatever,
yes, yes.
And McDonald's is hiring, they ain't going
to
work at McDonald's until something else comes along. Would you like cheese with that?
Right.
I mean.
Let me help you.
Man, would you like some fries?
But there's going to be a stipulation, though. I must work in the morning because I cannot work with these teenagers.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because people, now. We've had when we do, and again, it's going to be coming up, I'm sure, because the weather's about to break, where we do the 100 blocks, 100 churches again, where we're standing out on the corners. And we talk with young men on the corners, and we ask them. And this is the response I got. Why would I go work at Walmart
mm-hmm.
for, what is it, $10, $11, $12 an hour, whatever
yes.
it is,
yes.
for 4 or 5 hours a day
mm-hmm.
to make X amount of dollars when okay. I can make 300
in 1 hour.
In an hour on the corner. But then my response to them is, but at Walmart, what's the chance of you being shot at work?
Right.
In Walmart, what's the chance of you being arrested at work?
Right.
In Walmart, what's the chance of the fact that you work at Walmart causing someone else in your family to die?
Well, here's the other thing, because the money not going to them no way.
That's the other thing.
They making
you making
gym
shoe money and jogging suit money and enough money to get you one pair of True Religion jeans that you wear every day. Come on now, let me.
Now, I work for the Big and Tall Store. Them True Religion jeans is expensive.
Yes, God, they are. Yes,
them
God,
Rock
they
Revival
are.
Jeans is expensive.
Yes, they are.
I mean, listen, True Religion, matter of fact, we got a pair of True Religion jeans.
In the DSL store?
Oh, yes, Lord. We got them.
Wait a minute. They sell the True Religion?
Oh, yes, sir.
Let me talk to my big people. Big people. Y'all know y'all can go to the DSL. Come see my good friend, Pastor M. Bernard Henderson.
Well, now, listen. We got a couple of pairs, but all of them are really downtown, downtown location. But we got a pair now that's 50% off right now.
And they still what? $90?
And they're like 100.
About 120.
Only 28. Okay. And with my.
Y'all got more material.
Yeah, right. My discount. It's still going to be. I cannot even fathom myself
uh-huh.
paying $100 for a pair of jeans. I just can't right now.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Now, if they go down a little bit more, I'm probably going to swipe them on up and get them, you know. Well, you know, I got on these old truths right here. These old truths.
I just, but again, like you said, that money does not go to them. And it's, but so you're out there working for somebody else, making somebody else rich.
Yes.
But putting your life on the line every time.
Every time.
And I tell, and I, and we made this comment to him. You putting your life on the line for a $5 rock. A $5 rock. You are putting your life on the line. Your life, your children's life, your parents' life, and your friends' lives on the line so that you can sell a $5 rock. Now, no, working it, but here's the deal. Say you took, and I guess it's a drive. It's having that initiative to say, even if I have to work at Walmart, when I get to Walmart, I'm going to be valuable to Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Walmart going to say, you know, we want to send you to another store so you can train our people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will go, you know, or we want to do this for you. We going to make you that. Matter of fact, we're going to open up a new store. And we want to put you over there as an assistant manager.
Yes.
And then before you know it, guess what? I mean, people go, well, you know, you working at. So what? I'm working at Walmart.
It doesn't make no difference. I'm making an honest
come on.
Living.
And I'm getting a check and I got some benefits.
Now, see that? Not you talking.
See, now, where your benefits at with that's, the $5 rock?
Yeah, that's the benefits.
Well, you got 401. Do the drug game got it? Let me.
That 401.
I know some drug dealers. I know y'all very well. Someone used to count your money for you. But where's the 401k?
Where's the 401k? Where is the stock options?
Mm.
Where is the insurance?
Uh-uh.
Where is the, and you need some insurance. You're going to leave here.
Right. Who paying for the fume? Now, I will say this. You know, every now and then, the drug, they will kick out. They'll kick a couple of G's. They'll throw some flowers down.
Yeah,
now.
They'll kick out.
For Pookie.
Yeah. And funeral homes love to see them. That's cash.
Oh, they keep. We keep the funeral homes busy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's cash money. I mean, some of us keep it busy anyway. But then there are those, you know, because when you work at a funeral home, which I've worked for, you go in. Yeah, we want this cash. We want this. We want this right here. And we just sit up there. Click, click, click. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be $15,000. Well, we ain't got but $1,500. Have you considered cremation?
Speaking of cremation.
Yes, here we go. I knew it was going to
And once again, I did not do it, and it's probably for the best because I was going to probably play the wrong stuff. I told Tanya on Monday, I said, I don't care what people say, I'm playing Prince on the radio. But I right.
Yeah.
See, that, that's woo. You're going to stop. Pat, you're going to stop. I'll be the downloaded one during the commercial.
Like the tender.
I haven't talked to you since the Prince
working
Rogers
for
Nelson.
Hard time and a five and dime. My boss was missing again.
Prince Rogers Nelson.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Told me several times that he didn't like my kind. Yeah. Rose Reverberate. Time you find it at the second hand
store. Oh my God!
All right, yeah.
What favorite Prince song? If I'm sorry, not because it's hard to have a favorite.
No,
give me your.
I was not a. I like Prince. I liked him, but I wasn't one of those.
This is Empanage's last day.
Right
on
now,
the show.
I enjoy Diamonds and Pearls.
Diamonds and Pearls is a bad. Diamonds and Pearls is. You know why I like Diamonds and Pearls? You remember the video?
Yes.
The drummer weighed 393 pounds.
And you know what? Because there was another group called, because they made the song, Is It My Time?
Yeah, because that was Prince and the New Power Generation.
There you go.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that was the New Power Generation.
Yeah, they could sing. I like that.
Yeah. He always had some powerful singers behind him.
Always had powerful singers. Always had wonderful musicians.
Well, you had to be.
Yeah, I mean, because he was a musician.
That's what made, and you know who, as much as Michael Jackson emulated James Brown, Prince took that same thing to the next level.
Yes.
And to me, that's where the separation was between the two. I love Michael Jackson. I ain't going to never say nothing bad about Michael Jackson.
There's nothing bad about him.
But, Prince was, because I enjoyed musicianship.
Yes.
And to see him like play anything, it was just amazing. It was amazing. I'll never forget. I told this story before. Going to see Prince as a teenager, it was the Love Sexy tour.
Now, wait a minute. You remember there was one where he was banned from Chicago for a little while because he stripped.
That was the Love Sexy tour. because I think whatever year that was, it was in the 80s. So I was a teenager, and my mama took me and my auntie Monique to go see, because Monique, my auntie's younger than me, she's a year behind me.
Okay.
So we went, and that's the one, that was right when Erotic City had just came out.
Wow.
And the show opens with smoke on the stage, and the band is playing, you know, they've got the little, you know, they've got the chord going, and then the light comes from the ground, and the bathtub comes out from underneath the stage, and and Prince ain't got on nothing but a string. And that's all Sheila E. had on
was a string.
And they like lip locked, and she walked to the drums in her string. And all she had was strings covering this hem and this hem.
Uh-huh.
And he just had a string
covering the other way.
Right, covering his people. And there it was. And it was like, oh my God. But you forgot about the fact that the man was half naked because of the music.
The music.
Man.
I didn't know he had wrote so many other songs either.
I never paid attention to the fact. You remember the song from Breaking? Shaka Khan.
Yeah.
I never knew that was Prince until years after the fact.
Really?
He wrote that. Shaka Khan, let me rock it, Shaka Khan. He wrote that.
Oh, wow.
That's him saying Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, Shaka. That's him. Yes.
Wow.
I never knew that. Now you think about it, that's his voice. He wrote so many songs, though.
But now what touched me was, what's the fella's name on CNN?
Please don't say Don Lemon.
No.
Okay, because if you say Don Lemon, this is really...
He's our color, bald head.
Yeah. The one real black guy.
I mean, yeah, he's with glasses. I can't think of his name.
What is his name?
But on Saturday, I was waking up and ready to go to class, and he was talking about how Prince helped him.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the boy got real emotional.
Yeah.
About it.
Tamron Hall on MSNBC. I didn't know how tight her and Prince were.
Right.
She talked to him that Saturday or whatever before. Like, she had just spoke to him because she checked on him because he was sick. He was like, he called her Tam. He said, Tam, I'm good. And then it was like, and they talked like, she said, literally, like, we talked all the time.
Okay.
You know, but... And it's still, and we still waiting on the autopsy.
No,
they did the autopsy.
Oh, they did do it.
And then he's cremated.
You know, he's Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, that was the one thing Devon and I talked about.
Well, I don't know if he was Jehovah's Witness.
No, he was practicing Jehovah's Witness because the guy from the Kingdom Hall of Minnesota, whoever, came out and said he took our witness to areas that we would have never been able to take it to.
Oh, wow.
Because he could talk to celebrities about Jehovah.
Right.
Now, I'm going to just leave that where it's at because I'm.
That's fine.
Because before he closed his eyes, if he said, Lord Jesus.
Yes, what?
If you believe it.
Huh?
Hey. Huh?
Who is?
The thief on. Come on.
The thief on the cross.
Come on now. If he said on
he
his deathbed.
He didn't have no Holy Ghost.
Sorry.
Anyway. So, but now the thing about it is, and then I remember being younger
mm-hmm.
about them saying that Prince had songs in his safe that it would take years to get out there.
And that's my fear. And then to find out yesterday, he has no will.
Oh.
I was talking to this one the other day, and I said, look, I got about $3-4 in the bank. But my stuff is on paper.
Well, then it would go to his children.
He don't have any.
He didn't have children.
He had a baby that died.
Right.
But they never had another child. And then when he got remarried, he never got another child with her. And then they divorced.
Okay, so
he has no living children.
It would go. Is his mom still alive?
No.
His mom's dead.
He has he has half brothers and sisters.
Well, no, he has one sister.
The one sister who all of a sudden, I ain't never Tiki or Kiki. What's the time? What's the woman's name?
Yeah.
That's what she looked like, too. Baby sweet. Baby sweet with purple hair. He has a sister, and she, as of yesterday, he has one hole. So
one hole.
Because she was on TV with purple hair.
Yes.
And I'm like, did you just dye that yesterday? But let me stop. But she was on TV, and she has filed for executorship of his estate because he had no will.
Right, because his dad's still alive, though, isn't he?
No, his dad died.
I know his mom died.
Everybody has passed away. Right, he has one whole sister who was a recovering addict. See, y'all pray. Let's dearly beloved.
We are gathered here
today to get through this thing called life. Electric word life. That means forever. That's a mighty long time, but I'm here to tell you. There's something else.
The afterlife. But now, it'll be, or maybe somewhere out there because.
Well, what she has said is it is going to be her and the five half brothers and sisters that are technically can go out, and but she said what she did was she wants a what they call the person who's over the she wants to, someone else to be over it to let them come in and whatever it is to do Tika that's her name, okay. Tika
Nelson,
yeah, that person is going to come in. But let's talk about this for a minute. It's sure. Not just about Prince, because this has happened so many times. I think it's somewhat unfair, especially when you are a celebrity and you don't handle the business of your paperwork, is what I'm saying, financially and whatever, so that when you die, you don't leave a mess.
Yes.
Where people are now fighting for this and that, and this and the other. Because let's just say these five half-brothers and sisters, I don't know if they're half because they're from the daddy or from the mom, because, you know, I got an issue with that whole thing. You're half.
If they're from the daddy, they always say half. But if they mama
sister, the daddy gets no respect.
Right.
No. Right. But because we all came out the same tunnel,
yeah,
that supposedly make us whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. All right. That's, you know.
Anyway, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm the only one come out my mama's tunnel. Bless the Lord. Anywho. Make sure.
Thank you, mama.
Right. But in the process, you don't set things up, because if you don't have a family that was together, even if you have a family unit that was together, when folk die and money is involved, folk tend to lose their mind.
Oh yeah, they act a fool.
Folk tend to lose their mind.
They act a plum ninny.
And I think if you have your stuff on paper, you can prevent a lot of that.
Yes.
To say, look, Michael, this $200,000, this what you getting. And that's it. And here you go. Check. See ya.
But then a Prince may have had a trust.
Nothing. The state, the guy from the whatever, Minnesota, something. Nothing. There was nothing on file. And
what
I just find that, especially because of his music,
right.
I would have thought he would have wanted his music protected. Because like Michael Jackson, you remember the whole fiasco because that company that he was working with,
mm-hmm.
Who the family sued because they said they hired the doctor and ended up killing him,
uh-huh.
and all this other kind of stuff. And then there was music that was released that Michael never wanted released because he didn't think it was good enough. It was
right.
stuff that should have went on the Thriller album, on the Off the Wall album that he never stuff from the Bad album. And what's the album with the roller coasters and stuff on it? That album. They Don't Really Care About Us. That one, whatever that album was with all that stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like, how do you get through? You leave that stuff to chance, and now your music is going to get this music that you didn't think was ready. And if Prince didn't think it was ready, then I'm gonna go with Prince.
He didn't think it was ready.
If he didn't, but now because everybody want to make a dollar. And then I saw the funniest thing on Facebook or Instagram, one of us, you know, they create these memes. And it was a meme of Prince. And it said, whatever y'all do, don't y'all let nobody make no Lifetime movie of my stuff.
And an amen goes right there. No Lifetime movie.
Not one of Prince, please.
Not one of Prince.
But see, because you don't leave a will or no stuff behind, if I'm a half brother or sister and I ain't quite right, and you just need the rights to something, I can sign off on it.
I can sign off on it.
And get a check from Lifetime.
Yes.
See?
Television for Women.
I hate that channel.
Television for Women. Well, now, listen. has anyone going to see the Miles Davis movie? Is that Miles?
Is that the one that Wait. Who playing Miles?
What's the fella's name? What's his name?
Who playing Miles Davis?
His last name ain't Cheatham. What is his name?
Is Don Cheatham?
Yeah, I think it's Don Cheatham.
Don Cheatham? Well, he about to write, yeah, because you know you got to be a certain particular shade to play.
Yeah, Malcolm Miles.
To play Miles, because Miles was
a blended Miles and was, you put together.
No, Miles was what I call...
Blurple, blue, black, and purple. Mm,
y'all pray for me. Miles is what I like to call Kingsfoot Black.
Good God, Jesus Christ.
Miles is what we call Kingsfoot. Miles is Miles. Y'all know.
Are you saying Kingsford?
Kingsford, like the charcoal. Miles
Kingsford.
The Kingsford. Miles, you know, you've been so dark. You, when you that dark, you can leave fingerprint on a charcoal.
Oh yeah, now you listen.
Miles Davis. I always saw him, and he always looked like he was dying. Like
it looked like he had a $3 night and dollars one.
Like the Crypt Keeper, except he was darker than the Crypt. Remember Crypt Keeper from what was the Son of Spangu? So Miles Davis is in that, and then Miles Davis, Cheeto, but then what is his name? The Epps in it as well. Isn't Epps making a cameo? Mike Epps.
Oh, Mike.
I believe Mike Epps is making a cameo as Richard Pryor in this movie, because you know Mike Epps has been he's been begging for the Richard Pryor movie. Because he to do the mic, well, you know, people forget how tall Richard Pryor was. Richard Pryor was not.
He was very tall, 6 foot.
But his,
something.
But there's an issue with the family is divided on the. You know, I thought I knew his daughter Rain Pryor, but I didn't know about these other folks. That is a quite large fly.
Yeah, quite large horse fly.
Mothra, remember Mothra?
But I'm trying to think about Mike Epps playing
Richard Pryor. You don't feel it. You don't see it.
No, maybe. I'm trying to think. Of
see,
who
Mike. To me, Mike Epps is funny when he got good script.
He's very funny. Because
I've never seen him personally in stand up. I've seen his stand up special, and I was just like, okay. He's not like super funny. But when he has the right script in front of him, I think he might. When I first heard the rumor when it was him and somebody else pegging for Richard Pryor, I thought he kind of fit that mold. To me, I don't know, but you don't see it. You ain't feeling it. Bless
no,
the Lord.
I think, but I don't want to throw Jamie in there, but Jamie would maybe.
No, Jamie Foxx.
That ain't funny to me.
He is fun. If that's the case, let Eddie Murphy do it then. If that's the case.
No, I don't think.
No. Come on now. No.
But see, Richard Pryor was. Oh my God.
Yeah, Richard.
Something other else.
I'm too old to get myself in trouble. But I remember my uncle. I had an uncle. Bless his heart. He was a little. He was a heroin addict. Bless his heart. Died in the basement over at my mama's house. But he's let me listen to the Richard Pryor album.
And listen, can I tell you Richard Pryor?
Them Richard Pryor albums. Those I had never in my life. Because, you know, think about this, because we didn't have DVDs, there were no CDs, mm-hmm. there were no videos, mm-hmm. so there were these albums. So to sit in front of the record player and hear this stuff, and I would be dying, and literally, you know, with an album, you know, in order to hear some stuff, you had to pick the needle up and go back.
Yes, sir.
I would go back so many times, like, say it one more time, you know, you don't have the luxury of the CD where you
right.
can just hit the repeat
exactly.
real quick. You got to lift it up, and I would be dying. I can't tell none of the Richard because
right,
ain't none of it
between
clean.
Between him and Red Fox?
No, see, Red Fox was nasty. Red Fox, I know this is a Christian Talk radio show, but Red Fox was just nasty. He was just nasty.
and the lady, Esther.
Oh, the lady, yeah, she, yeah.
She was bad too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad mouth.
On Esther.
Yeah, bad mouth.
Bless her
heart. Bad mouth.
Now, did you ever see the younger pictures of Aunt Esther? Aunt Esther was fine.
Yeah.
What happened?
It's called life.
Is that what it
call
was?
Life. Now, you know that, you know, of course, you know that Prince was cremated. So was Daryl Coley.
Was Daryl cremated?
He's cremated, too.
That's interesting.
He's cremated.
You have a problem with cremation? I think I asked you this before.
No.
With your people being, you know,
I don't have a problem.
Okay. Because I was people, you know, people talk about some, you know, how you gonna, you know, how you gonna get a new body if you cremate. And I said, just like the Lord made a new one when He created us from the beginning. What you mean?
When you go to, you know, you're dust anyway.
Know. If I'm just speeding up the process,
I'm just helping the Lord out.
That's why there will be cremation. That's why there will be cremation. Ashes poured out in Jamaica. I don't care what you say. You know.
And we're going to be up there, Jamaica. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Got to get in. Okay.
Okay. All right. This is why he comes on once a week. Because every day will be a problem. Every day will be a problem. Bless the Lord. Look at y'all. We do have this article. 7 reasons. This is why I love this. 7 reasons your sermons, writings, or ideas are boring.
Wow.
Yeah, that's this going to be good. Wow. This going to be good. So look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's article. Okay? We'll be right back, y'all. TT. Hello. Peace. Bum, 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 bum. We'll be right back. sir. We are back, we are back, we are back. You like directing them songs, or you just like to sit back and sing? Would you guys?
I'll sing some songs. I'll direct, but these, some like these, I like to sing them. I ain't been to Kwanda.
See, I like to direct this here. Yeah, that's
somebody
my.
Got to keep the choir going.
You got to. Look, y'all, we are back. That's right, we are back. Today is Wisdom Wednesday in studio, which is the boy Dana, and sitting next to my good friend Pastor M. Bernard. Henderson. We're going to jump right into this article. Seven real reasons.
Why your sermons.
Writings, or ideas are boring. Let me ask you this question, and I'm sure, and I trust you'll answer it honestly. Have you ever preached a sermon that you thought was boring?
Yes. I had to bring it to light, though. It may have been boring. I had to put some pushes and pulls in some. But I had to preach what was there.
Okay.
Only I had to preach what was there. I mean,
okay.
And all sermons ain't gonna get no all the time. And,
you know, No, they not.
No. So, yeah. I wouldn't, and I don't say. Listen, all sermons are boring unless you put some life to them.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
Yes.
If you don't have every sermon is not going to be like you said. Every sermon is not a hooping, amen, shout, mm-hmm. hallelujah mm-hmm. type deal. But there ought to be some life.
Yeah.
Even if you watch somebody and he does, and he's not preaching, he's just talking and being motivational. But even a Joel Osteen, as monotone as he is,
yeah,
there's still some life.
There got to be some lift and some rise.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. But look, we're gonna jump into this because hey, if you've been somewhere, and then maybe some people will say, well, you know, if Here he go. Y'all pray. Seven reasons your sermons, writings, or ideas are boring. This is by Kerry Niewolf. And we're going to jump right into this, make sure I'm on the first page. Yes, I am. So he says, if there's one thing you've never set out to be as a leader or communicator, it's boring. And yet everyone who communicates, preaches, or even tries to persuade someone of an idea has discovered that sinking sense that you've lost your audience. How exactly does that happen? He says. I've been communicating professionally since I was 16 years old in radio, law, and for the last two decades, preaching and speaking, and over the years have become a student of what engages people and what doesn't. He says, I've learned the principles below because at one point or another, I violated all of them. Here are seven factors that disengage an audience that are so easy to miss if you're not looking for them. This should be good. Number one. You haven't understood or empathized with your audience.
Yes.
He says there is no such thing as a generic audience. You really can't connect with your audience if you don't understand them. Recently, I spent some time with a friend talking about a conference we both were speaking at. He says, because I knew the audience better than he did, he spent 40 minutes asking me exactly who would be in the audience, what their hopes and fears are, what they struggle with, and how he should approach them. He says, I was amazed by this for a few reasons. First, my friend is a multiple New York Times bestselling author and speaks to large influential audiences all the time. If anyone could just waltz in and speak, he could. Second, even though he has far more offers to speak than he can possibly accept, he is infinitely interested in the audiences he speaks to. The fact that he's so in demand, so good at what he does, and that he cares deeply about his audience is likely all connected. The more deeply you care about your audience, the more deeply they care about what you say.
Amen.
Man. So let's talk about that. This is something that Pastor Williams always said to us when we used to have our ministerial meetings on Saturday morning was you should know your audience.
Yes.
You have to absolutely know your audience.
Oh, yeah. You have to know the group that you are speaking to,
mm-hmm.
Talking to,
mm-hmm.
Because there's no need of you talking about one thing and, mm-hmm. you know, just like identifying their background and what's going on with them. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. most definitely. I need to know my audience. Who's there? Who's not going to be there? Are there audience that just sit and look? Are there audience that participate?
Mm-hmm.
Are there audience that you know you're gonna get some hums and some hugs?
Now you being someone who's preached kind of all over the place. So you a lot of times now you've preached at churches. Because I think when you preach at a church that you've been to where you've attended before, not necessarily as a member, but you've been in the presence of that pastor, so you've seen the congregation. But what is it like? when you get to a church you've never been to before, but you've been asked to preach. So now you prayed, God gave you a word, and then now you show up in front of this audience, and do you have communication with the pastor ahead of time to say, you know what, or do you just show up with what you got?
I show up, and one of the things I try to do is, especially if I go into the pulpit, I sit down and I close my eyes.
Yes.
And I can hear what's mm-hmm. going on in the congregation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you close your eyes.
Yeah.
And just sit, and you'll hear the pulse. You have to feel the pulse.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
You feel the pulse of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know, okay, I need to do this first, and then this, and then this. Oh, I need to do this.
Right, because if God gave you a word, it's fine. But there may be some tweaking that needs to be done.
Yes.
And you have to be flexible enough mm-hmm. and not be so stubborn to say, I'm doing exactly what's on this paper, just like I wrote it.
Exactly. And then you got to have some kind of charisma yourself.
Okay. Charisma. All right. Number
Holy Ghost. Go ahead.
A little Earl. You want to do number two, sir?
Sure. Focusing on what people need to know, mm-hmm. not on what people want to know.
Mm.
Uh-huh. There's a tension for every communicator between talking to people about what they want to know
mm-hmm.
and talking to people about what they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to draw a crowd, it's easy to focus on what people want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But every communicator knows sometimes you need to tell people what they need, need to know, even if they don't want to hear it.
Mm.
That's true. That's an especially
uh-huh.
challenge for preachers.
Mm.
If you always preach about what people want to know, you'll likely miss what people need to know.
Mm.
If you only focus on what people need to know, people have a way of tuning you out, and they will do that. When people tune you out, it might not be evidence that you're being faithful, as many preachers claim, it might just be evidence you're being ineffective.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I've landed. I try to discern, there it is right there,
mm-hmm.
what people want,
mm-hmm.
and then I deliver what people need.
Mm-hmm.
For example, few people want to hear about what the Bible has to say about money or sex, which
mm-hmm.
is true.
Mm-hmm.
But as a communicator, if I drill down on why God gave us intersection of
instruction,
instruction in this area,
mm-hmm.
and look for the benefit God intends to bring the people's
mm-hmm.
lives through it, I then isolated what people will want to hear and can better deliver what they need to hear.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that whole thing about when people ask you, you know, well, what do you want? And then you turn around and say, okay, I know what you want, but here's what you need.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you, you want all of this, but I'm going to take, but out of some of that is what you really need.
Yeah.
But again, you said the magic word, discernment.
Yes.
You have to start to be able to discern. And it's a sad case when your pastor or your person preaching cannot discern first what the people want, but then even discern what the people need. And then you turn around and give them what you want them to have.
And you're like, no.
You see, if I come to you looking for some steak, or let me just say it this way. If I come to you looking for some red meat, okay, and you turn around and serve me chicken. Now you could have gave me hamburger and I might would have took it.
Because that's still red meat.
But then you turn around and give me something completely different, then it's like what they said, you're being ineffective, because that means you're not even connected to who I am as a person.
It may sound kind of crazy.
It does.
Here it is.
Come on.
Let's do my favorite movie, y'all.
Uh-huh.
Harlem Nights. Benny, you got my mouth already for hash.
Hey.
The hash up in here.
And this is
tuna fish.
Uh-huh. You're right.
You see what I'm saying?
You're right. You're right. We're starving for this.
Right.
And you still feeding us this.
Yes. And we don't want that.
Mm.
And that is why there are some people that are having challenges. And thank you, Second Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, now, Pastor,
mm-hmm.
now, and they'll even challenge you on who preaches in the pulpit. Now, Pastor, if you're going to bring these people, make sure they can preach as well as you can or better.
Ooh. But here now it's that thing where let's say you're not that eloquent when it comes to preaching on tithing and stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
You know about it, but you're not that eloquent as far as delivering it in a way that can break it down contextually enough for them to go, oh, but you know somebody that can.
Okay.
So you bring that because y'all giving, but y'all really need to know about this.
Yeah, you need to go some more.
So I need to get somebody that can delve a little bit deeper than me.
Yes.
Now they may not want it, but they need it.
And sometimes, you know, bringing somebody in to do some things that I need to be done because, you, like, prime example, I can say something all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bring in the right person, oh, yeah, you know.
And you sit back like, nah, I've been saying this.
But yeah, Pastor. How good.
You're right. Let's keep it going. We're talking about seven real reasons your sermon writings or ideas are boring. Number three, he says, you haven't described a problem people want to solve.
Hmm.
He says, the problem with a lot of communication that is that it doesn't start with a problem. Too often, communicators or writers just start. Your audience is asking one question. Why should I listen? Why should I read further? I have problems to solve, and you're not helping me. Counter the explicitly, he says, explicitly, he says. I almost always start any talk I'm doing describing a problem people face at work, at home, in their relationship with God, or in their relationship with each other. How do you do that? He says, describe the problem in detail, i.e., for example, you're so frustrated with God because he says he's a God of love, but you read the Old Testament and beg to differ, and you wonder if you can even trust a God like that. If you really want people to drill down on the issues, take the next step. Make the problem worse. Describe it in such detail that people are no longer sure there's a solution to it. If you want to see this in action, he says, I spend the first 10 minutes of my message on the violence in the Old Testament, explaining the problem and then making it worse before I address it. You can watch that message here.
No.
That's interesting because I know when I'm in the process of doing sermon preparation, and whatever the subject might be, I always like to give a reason for why you're doing it.
I'm doing this because
So you know if you're reading a story and you know and you go and you say you know and the, like I remember I preached I got a chance to preach on Palm Sunday a few years back and I preached about what the Passover meant coming into that day and how the town of people had crowded into the town and they were coming from all over the world because it was a time for the Passover feast and people were calling all over the world and they had people from all these different areas from Jerusalem and all these other places and I focused in on the Greeks.
Okay.
The Greeks and the Greeks who came, they said, "We here to see Jesus. We ain't here for all that other stuff.
We here for him."
So I remember focusing on it, but I gave that whole context early on about all these people coming from all over the place and why they were coming. The Greeks came for one reason, but I had to lay that and I like what he said. You lay the context out in big form and then
roll it out there.
You have to because otherwise you're just talking.
Yeah. And just and extract because you listen, the people got to know the background. I don't care what no one says. You got to know the background scripture. That's what they used to have in Sunday school. Background scripture.
The golden text.
Yeah, the golden text. Background scripture. And then Isaiah.
Right.
Background scripture. You have to have the background, and you have to be able to bring the people into the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to paint it, and then along the way. You take that biblical premise that you used, and then you ought to be able to, if you're any good at anything, is to make that illustration viable for today
and make it live.
Come on now,
because there are let me get it right. Hold on.
Come on.
Three, four, five. I believe there are five type of preachers.
Okay, five. Help us out.
Number one. There are those who can write sermons that can't preach them.
Ooh, bless God.
Number two, there are those who can preach sermons that can't write them.
Mm.
Number three, there are those who can't write them and can't preach them.
Okay.
Number four, there are those who can write them and preach them.
Okay.
And number five, there are just those who. Okay.
So it's four.
No, no, it's still five because even some of them that even try to get up there and
okay.
try to preach them
well,
and try to write them and try to.
Five and two sounds just alike.
But it don't make no mind. But I have some friends
uh-huh.
who can write wonderful sermons.
But the delivery is bad.
The delivery is deplorable.
Now, is that a school issue or is that just a public?
I think it's a public speaking issue.
Public speaking issue.
Speaking issue. Because I am. Are you manuscript?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am a manuscript brother.
And there are those who have mastered the manuscript.
Yeah, I am a manuscript.
I'm not.
I can't do. And I think it's. Let me not say I can't do. I detest outlines.
Oh, I love outlines.
See, yeah, Pastor Williams is an outline preacher.
Yeah, I detest.
Manuscript.
Because when I had to do it in class, I was like,
"People will tell." I can pull up right now. I can go to my Dropbox, and it is Word, and
no.
then I'm gonna say, and then, but when I deliver it, you would think it was outline,
okay.
but I have to do that. That's the way my brain works. So I have to go with what God gave me.
My brain works this way, and I was talking about this the other day. I'm one of those people that I'm going to write it out quite a few times.
Okay, yeah.
I learn, because some people are visual learners.
Yes.
No. I'm a learner
mm-hmm.
to wear in with, and I'm having a little problem with this class that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I have to write something. If I had to know you don't express, number four, you don't express an old idea
mm-hmm.
in a new, fresh way.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to write that about five times in order for me to get it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And now when I get it,
mm-hmm.
all I have to put on there is number four.
And then then everything else kicks back in.
Everything kicks in.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
how I learn.
Yeah. Now I am in manuscript wise, after I write it all down, once I get to that part of it while I'm preaching, I ain't got to look at it no more.
Okay.
I ain't got to look at it no more. And then the way I do it is and I use this if I'm using the iPad, I put everything in what's called it's a teleprompter thing.
Okay.
So it scrolls while I'm preaching.
Oh,
and then I can just touch the screen when I want to delve down into something that I'm about to say, and it stops it. And then I can walk over here and I can get all into that and I come back and touch the screen and it keep on. Yeah, because otherwise,
I got no. Matter of fact, I got notes in my phone right now about
right.
the sermons. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've written them down,
mm-hmm.
Several times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, as a child, that's how I learned.
Yeah.
I just had to write it over,
mm-hmm.
over and over and over and over again. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, you do number four.
All right. You didn't express an old idea in a fresh way.
Mm.
For the record,
mm-hmm.
Solomon was right. There isn't anything new under the sun. none of us truly speaks about anything new.
That's right.
As a result, it's easy to fall into clinches of common descriptions of issues everyone's trying to address.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I almost call point two of this blog post, you're answering questions nobody is asking.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize that as you skim the article, you wouldn't think I've heard that 1,000 times and tune out.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed the expression of the point to focusing on what people need to know,
mm-hmm.
not on what people want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little fresher. Again, it's not a brand new idea, but it's more unique expression of it. If your ideas are simply retreads of other people's ideas, people will tune out.
Wow.
That's true.
That's very true. That's why I like about it's just like with gospel music. You know, sometimes you can update a song,
put a twist on it.
Just put a little twist on it. You're not hurting the music. It still has. And sometimes, because even with people do different versions of Near the Cross.
Yes.
And it sounds amazing. People have done different versions of Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus.
Right.
You know, those olds, This Little Light of Mine. I've heard, there's an upbeat version of that. That's amazing.
Well, the prime example, like Jesus Will.
Because
people always, you hear the young people, oh, that's New Touch God song. No.
Right.
Then there are those who say, that's Dolores Bay Campbell.
Uh-huh.
No.
See?
That's James Cleese.
I mean, seriously. But it's been upgraded two
right.
and three and four times.
Yes.
I remember the young adult, the youth choir that I was over here years ago. They did. I'm trying to remember what the name of the. I think it was it Percy Beatty's group redid Glory Glory. But it was some version of that. Dan, yeah, you have to help me out with the song. I don't forgot the name of it, but it was like it starts off with the old version. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, that one. But then the new one kicked in, and it's like, oh, and they used to rock that thing, man.
Well, you know, like I think his name is Brian Jones. He redid "Oh, We Gonna Walk This Road to Glory," my Lord. And then when they get through, he goes into "When My Steps Do 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 Do." I mean, it's the same thing. It's a
right.
twist on it.
But it's making it fresh because if you were, for some people who love hymns, singing it the old way will never bother you.
Right, exactly.
But if I'm trying to attract, if Michael ain't going nowhere, but then Michael might have some children who ain't trying to hear. They sick of Michael singing 'Tis the Old Ship of Zion around the house the way he went. Oh, that's daddy's song. Nobody want to hear that. You know, but then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Then they turn around like, ooh, daddy, that's your song. Ooh, I like this version.
I like this version.
But they're engaged.
Same song, though.
But now they're engaged.
Yeah.
And you have to make things fresher so people will want to participate in it. Because if you don't, it's going to be the same old retread over and over again, as the writer said. And people don't want to hear that. So
nope.
Got to do that. Let's keep it going. Number five, you haven't crafted your words well enough to make them memorable.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. He says, I spoke to a couple a few weeks ago about a series I preached 4 years ago. They're in their 20s. So that's almost one-fifth of their life in the past. They quoted the bottom line of their series to me and asked me to use it again at their wedding. The bottom line was simply this. Like is an emotion. Love is a decision.
Mm.
My God. He says, it's hard to believe someone remembers something you said 4 years earlier, but it happens. He says, they then told me they want their life together to be built on a decision to love each other, not an emotion they're feeling.
Wow.
What's so powerful to me is, as a pastor, is that single line contained the direction for an entire 6-part series whose ideas they were able to recall. If you're wondering, that isn't available online right now. He says it might be again soon. The power of carefully crafted phrases is that they're memorable. And memorable phrases, if I get that right, keep us going to work, keep going to work years after you finish speaking them. How do you craft memorable phrases? Wow.
I mean,
that's real.
Because I find myself saying, Dr. So-and-so, or Reverend So-and-so, or son-so-and-so,
Yes. And he said a whole lot more than that.
Yes.
But the memorable part, that's what stuck in.
It stuck right here.
That's what stuck in, absolutely.
Or you write it down, you know, or you take
Yeah, you when you're taking notes, it's kind of like, it's somewhat like if you go to a concert these days because of, you know, these devices, I don't see how people can even enjoy the concert because everybody's in there like this, you know, videoing it.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, how do you enjoy that when you constantly got to check your phone to make sure you got a good angle
exactly.
on your picture? But even in, I've seen this, and I'm sure you have, you've been to Christian conferences where somebody is tweeting out, you know, hashtag this, and I'm like, I love taking notes. But I ain't got time to tweet it out.
Well, I'll go up there like this. Now I'll do this.
But I'm just saying. But it's like what I said all that to say. It's good. I'm glad that people do it because when I go back to watch it, I'm like, oh, that was powerful.
Yeah, that was good.
And that's why I think, you know, like I was big on buying. I remember the first. I think I still have them on VHS. Pray for me. On VHS, I have like the first 3 or 4 Manpower series.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
On
yeah,
VHS,
yeah,
because there was some powerful
yeah.
preaching.
But you know what? The VHS show do play. I don't care what nobody said the same play. Yes,
them VHS is something. I'm gonna tell you right now. It was some days, and this is when I wasn't really going to church no more. I would put in one of them to get me through.
Yes, sir.
Because those conferences, you would hear some stuff, and they would speak to you, and it's like, and you couldn't remember the whole sermon,
but you can remember
but you remember some of them phrases.
Yeah, just like now, that you know, there are some phraseology.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, when I stand up in front in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
there's a phrase that I got from Charles Hayes, and I say every time I stand up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes no, it's mine now. So, you know, father's gone. Go ahead, God bless him, bless his soul. But it's going to be follow peace with all mankind. You know, may I see the Lord. So, yeah, I mean, there's just some things, you know, you'll remember forevermore. So, all right, number six.
Go ahead, number six.
You don't personally own a message. Mm. There was a season when cool church was enough, but people are tired of slick. they're suspicious of polish. In many ways, authentic is the new cool. One of the keys to authenticity is personally owning everything you say. People want to know you believe what you are saying. In a world of spin where so much is where so much is sold, people are looking for real. Be real. When you own the message, when it comes from the core of who you are, it resonates.
Mm-hmm.
So own your messages. Mm. That means you process it deeply enough that it has become part of who you are, not just something you say.
That's
Amen.
Good. That's good.
Own it.
That's good.
Own it.
That's good.
It's yearning.
That's good. I found out the hard way. You know, when I started doing my when I created my Minister King's page for ministry and stuff like that,
Ella
my
King,
Facebook page, and I started, you know, putting quotes up. I had put them up before, and I would put them on Facebook or whatever, but I never attached my name to them.
Okay.
And so now that, you know, Tanya runs the page or whatever, and I just send her the quotes, and then she puts them up there with picture or whatever and does all the design work and all that stuff. I make sure to put my name on, because what we found is, because I'm always looking at stuff and she's always looking at stuff, and she'll send me a note. And she'll be like, you need to go look at this page over here. Because some people will take your stuff and try and claim it as their own and here's my thing. I don't care, to be honest with you. I really don't care. Because see, if push ever came to shove, you know, I have it the way it was, the way I wrote it in 2007. and just used it in 2016. But it's one of those things where, you know, people will use your stuff, and you have to own it, because when you own it, it becomes part of who you are.
Yes.
So when people so that way, when people see you, they go, oh yeah, you're that guy, because I saw you say that thing and you meant that.
You meant what you said.
It's like when you see people sing.
Uh-huh.
Some people, you know, some people sing and they just sing a song. You can tell when somebody owns something. Or that song means something to them. Come on now. Yeah.
Jazz Williams would tell us all the time. He said, now listen, in his words, now, brothers and sisters, now, there have been many times that many people say that some of you all sound like me.
Uh-huh.
That's good. Keep on doing that. They'll say you sound like yourself after a while. And then he'd say about his sermons that he had. Now listen, you all take them, preach them. I don't care. It don't make me no difference. Give me credence every so often.
Uh-huh.
You know, preach them. And that's just like I didn't do it this year, but next year I probably will do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the month of February, I preach famous sermons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of people.
Oh.
And I let the congregation know.
You let them know what it is.
Now, this sermon was not preached by me, but this is preached by such and such. And I do that because some younger people will never hear these sermons.
That's true.
Unless we preach them.
That's true.
So you will hear B.W. Smith watch them dogs. You will hear Leo
Daniels. You do not preach B.W. Smith. Who in the hell left the gate open?
Who in the hell left the gate open? I put a twist on the end, though, that make it, you know, my Leo Daniels, what in hell do you want? Clear Shining After. You get I get sermons, and Lord knows I'm a C.L. Franklin. All right, so you'll get one of his sermons also. You know, so they'll never know these famous sermons.
Mm-hmm,
So yeah,
that's good to know. Look, I do see we got some emails, and I just noticed, I don't know why they're not popping up on my page earlier, so I'm going to get to them as soon as we get done with the article. I'm definitely going to do that, okay? All right. We're going to get to your emails, please. I'm going to read them all shortly. Number seven, and we're talking about seven real reasons your sermon writings or preaching or whatever is boring. Seven, you're relying too heavily on your notes. In public speaking, people won't believe you own the message if you are reading it.
Right.
It comes across as a press release or a statement someone else prepared or something you think they should believe, but you don't believe yourself. My God. He says, I know that's tough for people who are tied to manuscripts. Please hear me. Reading from your notes doesn't mean you're insecure. It just means people often think you are. Or, I'm sorry, reading from your notes doesn't mean you're insincere. It just means people often think you are. So is there help? You bet. If you want to learn how to free yourself from speaking with notes, I shared a five-step method on how to do that here. I'm about to click on that and see what that is. It's exactly how I got freed up from my notes. Want the heart of it? It's this. Don't memorize your talk. Understand it.
Yeah.
You don't memorize your conversations before you have them because you understand them. So understand your next talk. You can always talk about things you understand. He says, want more? My go-to resource for learning how to improve my preaching has become Preaching Rocket. He says, I've learned so much from Jeff Henderson. Is there any relation, Jeff?
I don't think so.
All right. Jeff Henderson and the team over there for years. He says, if you want to sample, here it is, whatever. He says, in the meantime, let's share some learning. What are some things you've seen that lose an audience? So I think it's absolutely correct. And I make it a point. My manuscript writings, to me, are I use them as outline because a lot of the stuff that I say when I preach was never on the paper.
On the paper, okay.
it
won't there.
It is never on the paper. And then because this is what I always do too, I go back and read it afterwards. Or if I'm capable of going back, if we record it and I go back and watch it, and I pull my notes out, and I'd be like, well, where's this part? Skipped all of that.
Like, I missed this part. Right
well, because that was it was the tone of the room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tone.
Yeah. So
we got emails. Look at.
Right. So let's go back to these emails. Hope y'all enjoyed that. Let me get to a couple of these emails real quick. Where y'all go? Thank you. He says, let me go back to let me do them in the right order as they were received. Let's see here. Miss Felicia Martin. She says, I agree with the good Reverend Doctor. A lot of people are not as qualified as you. Congratulations on your retirement. Well, bless you, Felicia. Not saying it's an excuse, but even the jobs that don't require much education are taken by older adults.
Yes.
Let's just say, or other ethnic groups.
And we'll let that simmer right where it is.
She's right. She's absolutely right.
Put that pot on the stove. Let it simmer for a minute.
She's absolutely right. Give me one second here. Let me make a quick change here so I can get all these emails the right way. We're not doing 2 hours, but I just want to make that change real quick so I can get time to read these. There we go. Bless God. I love that sound. That works. Let's keep going. This is from Mama McCurtis. Bless her heart. It says, the easiest money in the world is always dangerous, and there are always consequences sooner or later.
Thank you, Maria.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maria.
Yeah, she's right about that. She's absolutely right about that. That's 100% true. 100%
true. Hey, Mama McCurtis, how are you?
Right. And then this one here is from Yolanda E. King.
Yolanda.
It says, it's hard to believe that a man with such business acumen, such as Prince, wouldn't have a will. Prince could have had a trust, and the public wouldn't know because those papers do not have to be filed publicly.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah, okay. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, if you have a trust.
Thank you, Yolanda.
I mean, you just pay all your bills, and then all the rest of the money goes to wherever it goes.
That's true. That's true.
So
that's true.
Yeah, you don't have to file a trust.
Have you? I know you're still some in your younger stages, but have you thought pre-planned ahead for stuff like that or no?
I'm thinking about it now.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, because yeah. I don't have any children. I'm not going to have any children, I don't believe. I got a nephew, praise the Lord, thank you for him, hallelujah. But I think because I would love for any money that I make, I wanted to go to my schools and I wanted to go to help education.
One of the things, at the last Northwood
and the church.
River, that's all I was about to tell you, at the last Northwood Baptist River District, whatever, I never get the name right, but whatever the last meeting that I attended.
They sent me something. Yeah,
did they? Bless the Lord.
They had an association week for last, didn't they?
It was last week. It was last week.
Yeah.
It started Tuesday.
What was it? Yeah.
It was at Metro. At Delta Street at Greater Love.
Yeah, I thought I saw about it. When I saw it, I was like, somebody got my address. Okay, continue.
One of the things that they talked about was estate planning.
You need to.
And the pastor over at, let me get the right church, I think it's Body of Christ, Pastor Ricky Guyton.
Yes.
He spoke about how when he got ready to become, when he became pastor of Body of Christ, one of his members, who he had been a member for a long time, when she passed away, it was because of what she left the church that they were able to pay off the church.
Amen. And listen, because we don't like to talk about that.
We really
don't. I think that's a wonderful thing.
If you are, especially if for older members who don't really have, you know, if they got their stuff set, and, you know, they're in their 70s, 80 years, 70, and they've done well with their stuff, and they decide versus leaving them, and if they know they got some irresponsible children, or whatever, mm-hmm. if you decide, hey, you know what, I got this insurance policy, and if I want to leave $20,000 or $30,000
to the church, we'll take it.
So be it. I know for a fact Mother Jenkins, when she left, when she died, I think she left money to Kingdom. I know we still got Mother Jenkins' refrigerator in the kitchen. Okay.
Well, but I know one of our members died.
Ask me what year Mother Jenkins died.
Will, that land.
Ask me what year Mother Jenkins.
What year did Mother
I believe it was in 80 or something. Gee. The refrigerator still down there.
It still work?
Come on.
My blessed Lord and I.
Frigidaire. Frigidaire.
The ice box.
Boy, get out the ice box. Ain't washed your hands.
Wash your hands.
Just come right
box.
From outside in the street.
Yeah.
Right.
With the ice box.
The ice box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I grew up with those.
You know you're from the country. You had
the
ice box.
Yeah, ice box.
It is an ice box.
But I think, seriously, mm-hmm. I believe that, especially if you are an intricate part of your church,
yes,
that you should leave something to your church. I'm a firm believer of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can earmark it for the building fund. You can earmark it for the children.
Mm-hmm.
I believe everyone, you need to leave something to the church room. I stand on that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
and to your school.
I think it's something that you can... You have to know... to think ahead of time to say, you know what, if and here's the deal. And I think if you plan it out, and if it's in the will, people care about people. A lot of people they care. If you've been in the church for 25 and 30 years, and you decide to leave X amount of dollars, I don't see the harm in it. And it's not about churches trying to take your money. You felt like you wanted to do this as your dying request or whatever it is, then so be it. I don't see anything wrong with it myself.
I know some people who have left money to the church and the pastor.
Okay.
And I'm fine with that.
Especially uh-huh.
if you live in a neighborhood and you know your children are not going to come back.
That's true.
You know your children are not going to come back.
That's true.
Leave the house to the church.
Yeah.
I mean seriously, because how many I know of one or two houses in the LaGrange community where I am,
mm-hmm.
where the people have died,
mm-hmm.
and their children. I want that house. I want to be bothered with that house.
Well, you see how big them houses is?
Yeah, them houses big.
Them houses.
Okay, listen.
Them houses on LaGrange Road is ridiculous.
You can leave that to Second Baptist, and we'll fix it up and rent it out.
That's true. Or sell it and pay off the church if you got a mortgage.
But
yeah.
my thing is,
absolutely.
My whole thing about it, rent it out for a while.
That's true.
Get you some money on it.
Get you some income on it. That's right. Make it. I mean, there are so many different things you can do with life insurance policies. If you got a let's just say you got a $250,000 life insurance policy, mm-hmm. and you say out of this policy in your will or your final paperwork that you know what I want 50 of that to go to my church.
Yeah.
The other 200 going to y'all.
Yeah.
But 50 is designated for my church.
Now,
because living, I could not give them $50,000.
Exactly. But
now, in my death, I can.
Now, and then watch this. You have to be very careful about the funeral homes.
Yeah, with your insurance paperwork.
Poor baby. Because if they see you got a whole bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to try to take it out. No. This mm-hmm. is what we want.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And please, my African-American brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to go to the funeral home and pick out stuff.
I told this story a couple of weeks back by my great grandmother for years had planned her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even sick and had planned her funeral. She wanted a pink casket.
Yes, pink. That's Primrose. Pink Primrose. 18 days.
She wanted a pink casket with the white satin stuff in the inside.
Uh-huh. Sealer. Uh-huh.
With the pillow.
Yes, of course.
With the pink
pillow.
You don't
have a pillow. Yeah.
And then she had some requests. She wanted the flowers. There's a flower ensemble
that goes in the
that stands on the side that had, and it's in the, it's a wreath with a clock made of petals that shows what time you passed. She saw that somewhere. That's what she wanted.
Oh, that's pretty.
That's what she wanted, and so she made it be known. She told my mom, my mom's name is Cheryl. Now Cheryl. Cheryl, you see the we be at somebody's funeral. Cheryl, you see the clock up there on sister. That's the clock I want at my funeral. Mama, could you not? Cheryl, do you see the flower clock?
Go up there and get a picture. Pin dang out there. Go up there and get the camera.
No, that's what Yvette was for. Yvette took a picture at every funeral with a Kodak Instamatic. She was taking it right with the. So she said all this stuff and then wait, my girl, she said, now look here. Y'all better put my wig on me. mm-hmm. and my teeth.
Yes.
Don't bury me without my teeth. So it's funny. It's a funny story. When my grandmother passed, she passed the night of her birth, the night before her 98th birthday. She passed. 88th birthday. And she would have been 88. And so we at the doctor's office, we at the hospital, she had passed away. I'm sitting out there, so you know, folk crying, sad, everything. And then my mama looked up and she said, I got to go. She said, what? She said, mama's teeth is at home.
Gotta go get her teeth.
She said before, because she had just passed, I need to go get them so they can put them in so they don't have to break her jaw.
Yeah, to put them in there.
It was sad, but I was dying. I
so
said,
mama
didn't
like she burping.
Right. No, because we were scared. We're like, uh-uh. Mm-mm. I was scared. Uh-uh. They put their teeth in there, but that woman better put her in the ground with her teeth. So she had to run home to take the teeth because they took them out when she first got to the doctor because, you know, they're doing stuff with tubes and stuff.
Yeah.
So they take out. So for some reason, my mama, I took her teeth home. I got to go get her
wrapped up in some.
I had to go get
some paper towel. Right. Exactly.
But people have, and they have these, but her stuff, what she knew exactly what she wanted. As morbid as it is, my mama the same way. My mama said, look, y'all going to sing. Mama said, I want Denise to sing If I Could Help Somebody Along the Way.
Okay.
At my funeral. And that's it. And a whole bunch of folk, that's, she said, that's it. That's the only song. That's it.
Thank you, mother.
And go home.
And trust me, we go to all of the requests.
And everybody
all
already, look, everybody already know. Ain't going to be no fume. But my children's, y'all know the song. I just want y'all to sing one song. Don't Take My Joy Away. And then that's it. Go, and then y'all go to the barbecue.
Yeah, it's gonna be barbecue. But now, see, with me, it's gonna be a concert.
See,
the day
he won't.
Before.
I already know. He won't.
No. It's gonna be a concert the day before.
Are they bringing in your casket like they did with them dudes with the white suits on, on their shoulders?
Listen, they gonna bring it in. They gonna change my clothes every other hour.
At the funeral?
Oh yes.
You have a wardrobe change?
Oh yes.
You know what? I'm done.
I'm not gonna have no flowers on each side of me.
I'm done.
I'm gonna have big old cases of shoes.
Cancel Christmas.
Shoes over him. I'm gonna have a drawer with my glasses in. Oh yeah.
What?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You are not.
I'm gonna have a drawer with my glasses in it. Yeah, they're gonna
I hope we mad. I hope we mad at each other before you pass away, so I can have an excuse for not coming.
Listen, they're gonna bear me
because I can't come.
They finally gonna bear me in my robe with a Bible in my hand,
with
some glasses.
But you gonna have your skirt? Your
I'm gonna have a dress
your,
on.
Your priestly skirt.
Oh, I'm gonna have a dress on now.
How many? So that's what they gonna bury you in.
They gonna bury
you. But they gonna funeralize you.
Oh, they gonna
in different outfits.
Well, yeah.
They funeralize.
They gonna funeralize.
In the words of James Moore, where they dialyze me.
But when they put that, what is it? When they lift up that top and put it down,
that's
it.
You're going to be in your robe.
Oh, I'm going to be in my robe.
In your skirt.
Oh, I'm going to be in my skirt.
I'm going to put on my robe
and tell
the story.
I'm going to be in my skirt in whatever color the trim is on the robe. I'm going to have them suede shoes on, all right?
They changing your shoes?
Oh, yeah, they got to change my shoes.
I'm going
to. But listen, that's Michael Henderson living. That's going to be my
sister. I'm going to put on my robe
and tell the
story. Tell the story how I made it. I love that song.
They sang it Friday.
No, they did not.
Yeah, they did.
I want to hear I Shall Wear a Crown. If I could get a choir.
No, they sang it too.
That's a good song. When It's All Over.
When It's All Over. Yeah, that's all right.
That's all right. Okay, y'all. I know people are like, these people crazy talking about funeral. Yes, we are. That's all right. Mine going to be real simple. Sing the song, and then y'all going to get y'all some barbecue and some 40 ounces.
The barbecue meat.
And.
I look at an old poster that said, you said, every time he said chicken meat,
it was one of your videos, I think.
Yeah.
It was one of them. That's how I found you, going to the stupid and crazy videos. And I said, did this fool say chicken meat? I died.
At the barbecue meat.
I told that somebody the other day. I said, y'all have any ham meat? And my mama cried every time when I went over. Matter of fact, this was a couple of Sundays ago. I went over there. No, it was a Saturday. And she was cooking her meat for Sunday for the greens.
Yes.
So I walked in. And this is exactly what she said. I came up because you see on the second floor. So you smell it when you get, the old wooden stairwell. So I'm walking up in. And I'm thinking, I said, you cooking greens? She said, no, babe. She said, that's my turkey meat.
That's right, mama.
She said, you tell the cardinal. I said, I got some turkey meat. for my greens tomorrow.
Got some turkey meat. Yep,
and I was sending a text. I said, Nolly, if I text him and tell him you got some turkey meat in the greens,
hey,
he might be on his way over here.
Way over
here. See what I'm saying?
Hallelujah. For the greens.
And the turkey meat.
Yeah.
Right. And the good Lord. Okay, y'all. Could you pray us out? Y'all about to fall out.
God, we thank you for who you are in our
yes.
lives, and we
yes.
thank you, God, for just keeping us and leading us and guiding us. We pray for our city. We pray for our state, our nation, God. We pray for those who are in government. We pray also for every preacher, every church to open in your name. Bless us. Thank you for TTLO. Keep us strong, and I'm going to let your feet. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, we'll be back better than ever on Praise Break Friday, but as always, it's been your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother. Thank you for coming down and hanging out with us today.
Yes, sir.
The good pastor, M. Bernard.
He's buying me some rib meat.
Henderson. I'm going to take him up the street, get him a Wendy's single.
Yeah.
And call him. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here.
Yeah.